Good afternoon. Thanks for coming, everybody. Y'all are a good crowd. Oh, that's why. We're gonna start with singing. And for those of you who like to use hymnals, this is number 18 in your hymnal. But I will let you know, I don't play the way that we play hymns. So you can sing parts at your peril. As we enter into this service, we want to invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer.
God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today and to sing and to worship and to present ourselves before you as we begin this journey, this Lenten journey, a journey of continuing to follow Christ with intentionality and purpose, with a sense of recognition of what you're doing in our lives and through our lives, but also this great urgency to continue to follow you and to trust in you, and to lay before you those things which hold us down and sometimes keep us back. May we be refreshed and reminded during this time, God, of the truth that has entered into this world and entered into our lives and continues to transform it, continues to make us new as you make all things new. May we follow with a sense not only of urgency but also expectancy through this season as we prepare for Easter, for resurrection, as we prepare to encounter the cross and the empty tomb. This is our journey as well. We follow lockstep behind Jesus who calls and empowers us to follow. It's in your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for
leading
us, Todd. This next song might be lonely to you, so we'll repeat the first verse. And that'll give you a chance to learn it. And I want to thank Maddie in London for stepping in and leading us this morning. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here," he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Lent is coming. People fast on Lent. If your Facebook feed is like mine, people are talking about what they're giving up. It's hard to decide what to give up on Lent. So I looked it up. preparing for Lent. Fasting is a path to peace and happiness. That's right, fasting, the practice of abstaining from food and drink for meals, days, or even weeks at a time, is one of the most powerful ways we have of becoming closer to God and finding true joy. Self-denial leads to a greater sense of wholeness. That's why Christians have fasted for thousands of years. And it's why Lent, the six-week period before and between Ash Wednesday and Easter, is a time of serious fasting. Sounds kind of like a sales pitch. Fast, you can get closer to God. You want to, don't you? Not really. When I look at my Facebook feed, I see things like, what should I give up for Lent? Chocolate? No, I have all this chocolate. For Valentine's Day, I don't want to fast. Chocolate? Coffee? I have to stay awake and write all these papers. I have to have coffee! What else? Okay, some ways people are urged to fast during Lent. Let's see. Social media. I have to post on my Facebook! Okay, not social media. How about I fast from people? Yeah, that's it. I don't want to spend time with people anyway. Okay, that would be an easy one. Fast from people and you'll learn how to love them better. That's what the article says. Yeah. How about fast from dating? Yeah, that would be good for your relationship. Hey, my husband's sitting out there. How about I fast from marriage? Fast from spending money. Hey, could I use that as an excuse when I try to collect my gas bill next month? I'm fasting from spending money. Oh, wait, here's a good one. Fast from church. Fast from just one meal. How about fast from snacks? Fast from workouts? I don't like workouts anyway. That's easy. Fast from driving. Hey, I like that one. Fast from reading. I didn't get my Hebrew done this week because I was fasting from reading. Fast from trash. Yeah, okay. If I ever read Shel Silverstein, he has a poem called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, but not take the garbage out. Fasting from trash. Fast from talking and texting. Yeah. A little easier. Chocolate, soda, coffee, carbs. Fast from carbs. Anybody ever tried to go without bread? On a more serious note, Lent is connected with the ancient Jewish practice of giving up bread with yeast in it. Anybody ever eaten bread without yeast? It's not very tasty. I'm allergic to wheat. And if you ever try to go without wheat, it's not easy. Wheat is everywhere. I went without wheat for a week this week, in order to keep my voice healthy so that I can sing for this service. It's not easy. I messed up yesterday. I had Starbucks. Mm-hmm. So fasting bread without wheat for 6 weeks prior to Passover, that's what Jews were doing. They were cleansing their homes of wheat and leaven, because leaven is symbolic of sin. That's the point of fasting prior to Passover. So this leads us into a discussion of what the purpose of fasting actually is. There are three purposes of fasting. One is atonement of sin. The second is to prepare for meeting with God. The third is to sanctify oneself for the purpose that God has called you to. That's what Jesus was doing in the desert when he fasted. Remember that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and then immediately led him into the desert to be tempted and to fast. Not an easy thing to be fasting. When you fast, when you're really fasting and being spiritual, you always have to get tempted. Not just to eat, but in other ways too. Does the fast always produce results? A long, long time ago, when I was much younger than I am now, there was a man who fasted and fasted, and he didn't set a time limit, but the point of his fast was he wanted God to bring him $8 million so that he could fund a piece of his ministry. God didn't bring the $8 million, if I remember correctly. But the point of the fast is not to make God do something for you. The point of the fast is to meet God. And if we don't have our priorities right, God doesn't answer. That's what Isaiah is saying in this passage. The fast is about God. The fast is not about us. God's not a vending machine, and he can't be manipulated by our actions, including our fasts. We don't get to fast and say, God, you're not doing what I want. Fasting's to be done with a sincere heart, not just as a ritual. And it's not done as a substitute for what God wants from us. That's the other thing that Isaiah is saying. When God wants us to do something, he wants us to do it. Not to do something else and say, but I obeyed you. No, you didn't. You still haven't done what I want. Ash Wednesday is the day that we acknowledge God wants something from us. And if we have failed to do it, we repent. And we sanctify ourselves. And we put ourselves in line with what God wants from us. And it leads into this period when we focus on renewing our relationship with God. The reason that I brought up what the Jews had done is Passover and Easter are connected. They're both times of renewal. Passover is a time when the Jewish people acknowledge the time when God delivered them from their pain. And they fasted and renewed as a time when they rededicate themselves to God's service. And that's the same thing that we do on Easter. We acknowledge that God has delivered us. And when we practice Lent, Lent is not just something that Catholics do. It's something that we all do. And so when we practice Lent, we acknowledge our own need to recommit ourselves. And we acknowledge that pain comes before deliverance. And the resurrection of Christ is our deliverance. The practice of giving up something doesn't have any value all by itself. Draw near to God is what has value. Drawing near to God directs the course of our lives. It changes our lives in ways that we can't imagine. What Isaiah is calling us to consider is that maybe it's not giving up something that we're supposed to be doing. Maybe it's giving more of what we are. And so, as we move into the Ash Settlement, what I want to challenge you to think about is God asking you to give up, or is God asking you to give more? We're on this campus where we worship regularly. We sing and talk about good news. We sing and talk about deliverance and about sins being washed away. That's something that sometimes I don't have enough words to talk about the emotion that rises up in me when I think about God washing my sins away. It's just powerful, and it makes me feel joy. And if that's something that you've not ever experienced joy about, I want to invite you to have a little talk with God up here. Because God wants to give you that joy. And if you experience the joy, then feel it while we sing. We're going to be singing a couple of songs before we do the ashes. So, while we sing, if you need to have some time with God, have it. And open your heart and experience that repentance and experience God's grace. And then we'll do the ashes and participate freely. Because the anointing with ashes is not something that just saved people experience. It's something that's a sign of repentance. And this is something that we all can do. And spend these next few weeks as a time to draw near to God. It will change you. I guarantee you won't regret it.
Psalm 51, 9, 10, 16, and 17. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God.
Thank you.
At this point in service, we call to attention what we've been noticing all along, that this sanctuary is filled with symbols, and those symbols have a deep, profound, but also very practical meaning in our lives. So we see the stained glass window back here with all its facets, symbols all over it, from vines to doves to the cross to Jesus' open arms. Each a symbol, so pointing to something beyond itself and yet rooted in our daily practice. We too want to be people of open arms. We too want to be people through whose lives the light of God shines, connected to the vine, filled with the power of the dove and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we see when we walk in. That's what we take in. That's why we keep coming back. Because rooms like this and spaces like this are filled with reminders, not just of where we're going, but where we are right now. And so there's a journey there. There's a path that we're on. And Lent is all about the journey. Another symbol which reminds us that whether we take short steps or long strides, whether we stumble or we find ourselves making greater progress than ever before, we're on a journey with all of its twists and turns and ups and downs, with all of its tomorrows, not quite the same as today. And today, well, that's different than yesterday. It's a journey. And it's one that we take together. And so we remind each other of where we've been and where we're going. And ultimately, and most importantly, we point one another to Christ, who has made this journey before us and who invites us to come and to follow him. Rabbi, where are you staying? His words, come and see. It's a journey of following Christ together. And Ash Wednesday has a particular symbol that reminds us of what it means not only to get started on this journey or to renew on this journey, but as Reverend Sarah has reminded us, to be renewed along this path. It's the symbol of the ashes, for today is the first day. It's the commitment, it's the opening, the invitation to take this Lenten journey together, following Christ. But where? And what would ashes have to do with it? In just a few moments, there will be several of us in the room with the sign of the cross made in ashes on our forehead or maybe on our wrist. Maybe something that we bring a Bible and we open up the front cover. Maybe not an SMT Bible, but a personal Bible that we take up with us, a journal. Something that we would carry with us with the sign of the cross made in the ashes. You see, the ashes remind us that we are created from the dust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Into the dust we will return. Reminds us of our mortality, of our neediness before God, that we are humans and we are frail and we fail. And yet, those ashes will be mixed with oil. And the oil is a reminder in Scripture, because let's be honest, not everybody got anointed. Those who got anointed were the kings and the priests. Until. And there's very marked times in Scripture where the anointing happens to those who are in need, those who are sick. Gather the elders of the church. And so there are times when those who are priests are called and anointed. And there are times when those who are royalty are called and anointed. And then there comes a time with the priesthood of all believers where any and all may come and be anointed. Now, what happens when we are anointed? Much like Sarah has reminded us. Nothing and something. Nothing if, in fact, we think that the oil or the ashes or the oil and the ashes mixed together somehow magically cure us or magically empower us. Nothing happens if, in fact, our faith is in the ashes or our faith is in the oil. But they are symbols. They are pointers. They're signs of that reality to which on which all of our hope depends. The God who has been revealed in Jesus and who has poured out the Spirit meets us in these times and places. As we have ashes placed on our forehead and the sign of the cross, they're reminders not only of that we are ashes to ashes and dust to dust, but they're also, with that oil mixed in, reminders, because the oil is also a symbol of the Spirit. So reminders that in the midst of our ashes is the Spirit of God. In the midst of our weakness is God's strength. In the midst of our inability is the ability of God. And once the oil is mixed in with the ashes, we couldn't separate it. It would be easier to find the proverbial needle in a haystack. It would be easier to somehow gather the stars together and keep them pinned up somewhere than it would be to try to remove the ashes mixed with oil. And so it is with our lives and our walk and our journey.
Is it in our own human strength that we carry ourselves forward? Yes and no. Because it is also with the power of the Spirit of God that we do anything that lasts, anything that matters, anything that perseveres. And it just so happens that this February 14th, because Ash Wednesday is not always on February 14th, but this February 14th, that's the last one and the one to come, is Valentine's Day. And we think of flowers, and we think of chocolates, and we think of moonlight, and we think of all kinds of things on Valentine's Day. But if you were to sum it up in one word, what do we think of? Right, love. So we think of love, and so what if we added that to the mix as well? What if this journey of following Christ together, following Christ to the cross, to this place of sacrifice for the sake of others, His blood poured out, His body broken for us, for us, to us, but also as an invitation to us to live broken lives before one another, pouring out ourselves for the sake of this world that God loves. And so what if in the midst of what we do it for love? We do it empowered by the scripture that says that God is love, for God so loved the world. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. He also sprinkled in there loving your enemies, but we can talk about that later. But what if this Ash Wednesday and this Lenten journey to Easter, to resurrection, to the cross, what if it were all about, Lord, whatever I give up, whatever I fast from, whatever I choose to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that during this journey, but instead I'm going to find ways to love more intentionally, more on purpose. And so maybe that's diving into the scripture for a particular study. Lord, show me what it means to love like Christ. Maybe that means a time of pulling away from the hustle and bustle and all the busy and the good kind of busy even, and saying, Lord, I want to devote this time to prayer. Instead of maybe watching that show or listening or doing whatever pattern of life, it may be good, but I want to push away from that for a little while, because this Lenten season, I want to learn to be like Jesus. And not just learn, but be empowered and infused, and that's what this is about. So in just a second here, I'm going to ask maybe if in just a moment, if Sarah would play some worship music. Just begin to kind of tune our hearts, if you will, because our minds are already engaged, right? We're looking around at symbols, we're thinking about scripture, we're wondering exactly what's in this bowl. Our minds are engaged, but God, would you draw our hearts as well? Because this is a whole heart, soul, mind, and strength kind of thing. And so what I have here in the bowl that you see is the oil, and what I have here in the bowl that is glistening in the light here are the ashes. Now you say, well, how do you get ashes? I know you can get oil from Walmart, but where do you get ashes? Well, the ashes truly are ashes. They are staining my finger as I speak. There's a practice, another symbolic gesture, but a very meaningful and powerful, provocative time in the life of the church where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and the children and others are taking palm branches and cutting them and waving them. Remember, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A beautiful and compelling and inspiring and very confusing day, because he was turning everything on its head, and that wasn't quite what the Messiah was expected to be like. And so what we do almost a year later, is we actually take the palm branches, and I thank the Department of Student Life for this, the actual palm branches that were used in chapel last year around Palm Sunday, to remember what it means to give him praise. Well, now those palm branches are burned, and we mix them with the oil to remind us that it's not just praise with our mouths, but in the perplexing and sometimes confusing walk that this is, and this following hard after Christ, and this in this together, and sometimes we stumble, that it's one thing to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and this is also a reminder that in our human frailty, we need his help in following. In backing up those words of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord with actions, Lord, we follow you. We trust you. And so I take the oil now and I mix it in with the ashes. Again, irrevocable. You can't undo this. Just as when we sense that God is working in our lives, there is that forever mix of, Lord, help me, Psalm 51, create in me a new heart, oh God, but also the call from 2 Corinthians, be reconciled to God, because we don't change ourselves, and yet we're called to take up our cross and deny ourselves and come follow him. So what we have in here now is a mixture of oil and ash. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. Some of you will want to come to this spot right over here, and I'm going to create plenty of space for one of you to stand on this side and the other to stand on that side. You've come with a friend, you've come with a classmate, you've come with someone, you're a roommate from your, you've come with somebody, many of you, and you may wish to come over here. In this particular tradition, in our Church of God tradition, you don't have to be ordained to do the administering of the ashes. And so this is a moment, priesthood of all believers, children, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God, this is an opportunity for you to take your finger and to take the oil and the ash, and either on, again, maybe on the forehead, or if you put forth your wrist, sometimes it's on the wrist. Again, you may have, you brought something with you. It in and of itself is a symbolic piece that reminds you of the ways that God works in your life. And allow that person to put the sign of the cross. You say, I don't do this every day. I'm not used to this. That's okay. There's a bit of uncomfortability in it because there's also empowerment in it. We're doing something significant. We're speaking life into one another. By making the sign of the cross, we are a marked people. And we remind ourselves of that. By using that particular symbol, we're marked, yes, by resurrection and life, but it's a reminder in this Lenten season also of death and sacrifice, of repentance, and God, help me to let this go, and God, take this out of my life, because I want to follow Jesus with an abundance of life. And there are certain things that speak death in me and around me, and Lord, this Lenten season, help me to let go and help me to hold on. Cling to that cross, and we help one another. There will be others of you who may have come here as a solitary act, or even if you came together, if you wish, I will be over here, not with this toothpick, because then nobody would come over here, but with another bowl of the mixed oil and the ashes. And regardless of whether you come over here together to practice that in community, or you come over here and allow me to put the sign of the cross upon you, and just to speak, again, not magical words. In fact, you can say whatever. Traditionally, here are some things that are said. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, to remind us of our humility and humanity, but also of God's empowerment. Here's something else that, repent and believe the gospel. It's that turning away and believing and trusting in this good news of life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So from ashes to ashes, or repent and believe the gospel, or we might add, take up your cross and follow him, or trust in him, or allow the power of his spirit to guide you this season, or I love you, I'm praying for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, as the music plays, I invite you to come together over here, or to join me over here, for those who wish. I had someone in class yesterday ask me, can I just come and watch? Yes. Yes.